Turn with me, if you would, to Lamentation chapter 3. The book of Lamentation chapter 3. Jeremiah, Lamentation. In the Old Testament, Lamentation chapter 3. And we wish to look again at verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. The same text as we considered this morning, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Now this morning we looked at the first part of this chapter. We saw how Jeremiah was living in a day when Jerusalem was destroyed, God's people were cast into exile, and all the miseries and the afflictions that Jeremiah suffered because of that. He was brought very low into darkness, into misery. We see that the early part of the chapter where he was hedged about and there didn't seem to be any way in which he could get out of this very dark, dismal situation. And we saw all the different feelings that he had, that he experienced. But we also saw that it was not his feelings that brought him out of that. If he had remained with his feelings, he would have remained in the darkness. We saw how it was when he came to look to the facts. The facts as they are revealed in Scripture, in the Word of God. We see that he began then to, he humbled himself. We saw how feelings can change according to situation, according to providence. Our feelings can change. And there are people that know what that means very much today. But in a moment of time, something comes along and their feelings and the way they are go down into the depths. If that's the way you are at the beginning of a new year, that's your feelings. But my friend, you need to now come and look at the facts. And it's these facts that are at the Word of God. Who God is, what God has done. These are the facts that can lift the soul out of the depth of despair. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. And it's very well saying, the Word of God. But what is the particular thing that Jeremiah thinks upon that lifts him up out of the despair that he was in? There are six things that I want to bring before you as the Lord will enable us this evening. Six different things that I think that, and dividing these verses up, six things that Jeremiah thought upon, brought to his mind. This I recall to my mind, he says. Therefore have I hope. What was it in the midst of his trial, in the midst of his miseries, in the midst of everything that was going on around him, six things that he remembered and was brought to his mind that raised him? And these six things I want to look at. And the first of these is God's compassion and God's mercy. You find that in verses 22 and 20. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. The apostle, the Jeremiah, the prophet, knew what it was to be burnt. But yet, in being burnt, he was not consumed. It's like the burning bush that Moses saw. It was burning. It was in the midst of the fire. But it wasn't consumed. Jeremiah was brought down almost into the fire. In everything that he saw going on around him. But yet, he was not consumed. Why not? Because of the Lord's rich mercy to him. Because of the Lord's rich mercy to him. My friend, if you this evening are one of God's people, then you have reason to say, it is God's mercy that has saved you. It is God's mercy that has kept you from being consumed in the fires of hell. It is his mercy and his compassion and his love towards poor sinners. And while everything was changing around the prophet, Jerusalem's destroyed, the Lord's people are cast into exile, everything is changing, but there is one thing that never changed. The Lord's mercy and the Lord's compassion. It never failed. Every single morning, it was new every morning. And it was great, and God was great in his faithfulness. My friend, if you are going to hope and have a hope for time and for eternity, you need to put your trust in something more than simply feelings. You need to put your trust in facts. You need to put your trust in the unchanging God. The unchanging God, his mercies are new every morning, and who is faithful to his covenant. What God in this world can you ever come to of which these verses speak? What other God is there in this world? The gods of this world that are idols dumb, the gods of this world, Allah and all these, the God of the Muslims, the God of, can this be said of any of them? That he has given his own begotten son, his mercy extends to sending his son, Jesus Christ, into this world to save sinners. And every morning you rise, there he is, like the sun. Have you ever think of the sun? The next time the sun rises in the east and goes down in the west, the next time you get up in the morning, you go outside, look at the sun. And what is it telling you? The sun is the same every day you get up. There it is. It rises with its light and with its heat upon this earth. How does it never cool? Because of nuclear fission within it. It is self-perpetuating. It is self-perpetuating. There it is. Heat, light, rising every morning. My friend, eventually the sun would, billions of years, the sun would eventually change. But it reminds you of God's faithfulness, his compassion, his mercy, is new every single morning you get up. Is there like the sun, lighting up the day. And Jeremiah is brought to remember that. He is brought to remember how God is faithful to his covenant. No matter, my friend, the covenant promises that are given in the Bible are the most important thing that you will ever hear about. God's covenant with his son Jesus Christ. The covenant that he has entered into before the foundation of the world. The covenant whereby he has promised and to his son a people, his beloved people, and the son has promised on their behalf to suffer and die and to save them. And it is that very covenant, the faithfulness of God to the covenant, that Jeremiah now looks to. My friend, you go with what you see in this world. What do you see in Scotland today? You see a nation that is departing from every moral compass you can think of. Obsessed with immorality. A nation that is falling away, that has changed in a moment of time. And yet, the Lord's people can come, as Jeremiah could come, and say, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. It is the Lord that keeps his church. It is not the church that keeps itself. The church would be consumed, would be extinct, but it is the Lord's mercies that keep the church. And his compassion for his people never fails. Jeremiah was failed by many, but he could say, the Lord's compassion is never failing. His mercy and his compassions, his mercies, plural, his compassions, plural, they are new to him every morning. That's what he brought to his memory. That's what brought him up out of the the depths of despair. God, a reminder of God's compassion and God's mercy. But the second thing is, the Lord is his portion. See how he says that in verse, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, will I hope in him. It flows out of this God who is compassionate and has shown mercy to sinners, has shown mercy to himself. This same God, the Lord, Jehovah, and he uses here in verses 24, 22 and 24, again in 25, right throughout this, down to 26, he's using the name Jehovah, Yahweh, the covenant name of God. My friend, he says, he is my portion. He is my portion. He is my inheritance. He is my lot. It is the covenant-keeping God, who is the portion of Jeremiah. The word that is your portion, it can also mean his, my boast. He's the one I speak of. He's the one that I want to dwell upon. My friend, you're in this world, a changing world, a world that's not the same today as it was yesterday. And this next week and the next year won't be the same as last year. Everything changes. But he has got the Lord Jehovah as his portion. And if he has the Lord as his portion, then what more does he need? He doesn't need anything else. Everything can be taken from him. Jerusalem can be destroyed. The Lord's people taken into captivity. Everything can be removed from the prophet. But the Lord will never be removed from him. And if the Lord won't be removed from him, then what more has he to fear? What more has he to want? He has a sufficiency in the Lord. My friend, what would happen today if everything that you own was taken from you? Your home, your family, your goods, your wealth, everything was removed from you. My friend, how that would bring you down into affliction, into misery. But at the end of the day, the person who has the Lord Jehovah, the person who has the Lord Jesus Christ has everything. Everything can be taken from you as Job had everything taken from him. But then he would say, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Jeremiah came to think upon the fact, not just about the God who is compassionate and who is merciful, but he is able now to come and say, he is my God. He is my portion. My friend, as you enter into another year, as you look towards another year, are you able to say the Lord is your portion? Or is your portion only in the things of this world? Is your portion only in the things that are seen? Your goods, your house, your homes, your work, whatever it may be, is that your portion? My friend, one day you're going to be told that you'll leave all that behind you. You will take none of it with you. One day you will leave this world and everything that is your portion, and you will know it no more. But the man who is the Lord is his portion. My friend, he has everything. Because not even death itself will take away that portion. Not even death itself, life nor death, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, shall ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, the Lord. My friend, what a wonderful thing to think upon in the first day of a new year. The compassion and the mercy of the Lord that lifts Jeremiah out of the mire, out of the darkness, and then to say, this same Lord is my portion. The Lord is my portion. That's the second. But then there is the third. He comes to think upon what is good. And there are three things here that he speaks about being good. Verses 25 down to 27, the Lord is good. 26, it is good that a man should hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And in 27, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Three things that the Jeremiah the prophet thinks upon that is good. My friend, in the midst of all that's bad, Jeremiah has just spoken about all the things that are bad. He seems to be hedged up. He seems to be laden down with anxiety and troubles. It's as though God is even against him. But in the midst of the bad, he comes to see that there are three things that are good. The first is, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. He is good unto them that wait upon him, to the soul that seeketh him, he says in verse 25. My friend, the Lord is good. Jeremiah comes to realize in the midst of all that's going on, in all the evil that is taking place, the Lord himself is good. He's good to them that wait for him, that wait patiently for him. Even in the midst of affliction, Jeremiah realizes it's good to wait for the Lord, to wait patiently on the Lord his God. Particularly to those who wait upon them and to those that seek him. Jeremiah's in the dark. Jeremiah's in a dark place. Jeremiah's hedged in. But now he says it's a good thing for me to seek, to wait upon the Lord and to seek him in the midst of this trial. Not necessarily to take him out of it. Our idea would be, Lord, take us away from this situation. Jeremiah says no. To wait upon the Lord and to seek him in the midst of it is the wonderful thing. That's good, he said. To seek the Lord and to wait upon him. My friend, another year has passed. Can you say that in a year you have waited upon the Lord or you have sought the Lord? Have you put your mind to seeking after the Lord, our God? Have you sought to seek the Lord Jesus Christ? To seek him while he may be found and to call upon him while he is near? Have you sought and have you come to realize that it's not just good, it is the best thing of all? In the midst of a dark world, in the midst of a world that is full of sin and darkness, a world that hates the gospel and hates the light, in that world, my friend, have you realized that it is good to seek the Lord and to wait upon him? The second thing, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. There is the patience. It is good for Jeremiah to wait patiently in the midst of this affliction, to submit to God's dealings with him. Remember how Paul, when he writes to the church at Rome, Romans chapter 12, verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Patience is a virtue. Patience is a virtue that many of us don't have in great abundance. But we have to learn under affliction. We have to learn in the trials of this world what it is to patiently submit to the hand. It is good that a man should hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord, for the Lord to intervene. I've been to quietly. How many of us revail against God's providence? How many of us, instead of sitting quietly, we speak against God's providence? We revail against God's providence. Jeremiah says it is good. He says it is good that a man should hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. My friend, that's grace that teaches us that. Grace teaches us that. That in the midst of affliction, we would patiently wait for the salvation of the Lord. And the third thing that is good is it is good that a man that he bear the yoke of his youth. You see, Jeremiah is encouraging young people. to bear the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ, who says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Jeremiah says to bear that yoke when you're young. Not to wait until you're older, not to wait until you think that, well, when I'm 60 or 70 or whenever it will be, today, the day of salvation. And Jeremiah says it is good for a young person to bear the yoke. What is the yoke there? The yoke of Jesus Christ or the yoke of affliction for the sake of the gospel. Young people in the congregation, have you ever considered that the best thing that a young person can ever do? If you were asked at the beginning of this year, what would it be good for you this year? Well, it would be good that you would get a job, or you would do well in your studies in school or university. It's good that you would prosper in this or that. It's good that you would do many things. My friend, the best thing of all, good, is that a young person bears the yoke in his youth. That's the best thing. The best thing you could ever do this year, if you haven't already done it, is to come and take upon you the yoke of Jesus Christ. That's the best yoke of all. Jeremiah came to realize that. He realized that in the midst of the greatest afflictions. He was down in darkness, and then he comes out of it and he says, there are three things that are good. The Lord is good. It is good that we patiently bear these afflictions, and it's good that a young person would even bear it in their youth, that they would learn as they go on. So, he thinks on the compassions and mercy of the Lord. He thinks on the Lord as his portion. He thinks that on the three things that are good. Then he comes to look upon what it is to bear this affliction. Verses 28. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust. If so be, there may be hope. He giveth the cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. Here you see the outcome of Jeremiah now. Jeremiah has now been lifted above the things that are seen. And now he bears that affliction in a way that hitherto he wasn't. Before, he was crying out against the affliction. But now we are told that he sitteth alone and keepeth silent. You see, he's turned to the Lord. He's turned away from the world. He's turned away from the things of the world. He's now turned and he sits alone. But my friend, he's not alone, is he? Jeremiah is not alone when he turns like this. The Lord is with him. And that's the way many of the Lord's people, in the midst of their affliction, they go away and they're alone with the Lord. And he keepeth silence because he has borne it upon him. He has now learned what it is to be comforted. And look at how he comes now also in prayer. He putteth his mouth in the dust so that there may be hope. Putting his, it's as though he comes down into the dust and there he prays to the Lord. The Lord is giving him a place to bring his petition to. It's as though he's now lying in the dust. But look at what wonderful thing has happened here. He does what the Lord Jesus, many hundreds of years later on, tells him to do. Do you remember how the Lord Jesus said, if thy enemy smite thee in the cheek, turn the other cheek, he said. Bear the affliction. Look at what Jeremiah says. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach in verse 30. You see how Jeremiah is now going to bear the reproach. And my friend, what a wonderful example we have of the Lord Jesus Christ. In all of this, we have a wonderful example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember how when Isaiah chapter 50, the Lord himself, we are put in prophecy, it was prophesied of the Lord himself, that in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. The Lord Jesus Christ, when they reviled him, they reviled not again. They spat upon him. They slapped him across the face. He gave the other cheek. My friend, Jeremiah has learned what it is to follow the Lord. We have the wonderful example of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who had an affliction like unto his affliction. He could have called upon a myriad of angels to come down and destroy his enemies. At one time, the disciples themselves called for him to call down fire from heaven. He says, you know not the spirit that you are of. He has learned how to bear the affliction. But the fifth thing is this. Jeremiah is encouraged to know that there is an end to these afflictions. See how in verse 3, the Lord will not cast off forever, he says. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. See, there's an end to the affliction, you see. There's an end to it all. Even Jeremiah, brought down, has to discover that although his people will go through many trials, he will not cast them off. He will never cast them off. You remember how Paul says, troubled on every side, but not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You see, Jeremiah was brought to think upon the fact of God's love to his people. And that's a love that would ensure that they would never be cast off. He will never cast them off forever. My friend, we've got a wonderful example of that in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will not cast off his people. Why not? He will give his own beloved son to suffer and die rather than have his people cast off. Jeremiah knows that there's an end to it. Why? Because so far as his people are concerned, we read that he will not afflict willingly nor grieve the children of men. In other words, he's not doing this and he's not causing this affliction simply to satisfy some weird desire of himself to punish. But rather, Jeremiah sees that there is a divine purpose in God's dealings with his people in these afflictions. There's a divine purpose. He's not doing it just for some, to satisfy some emotion or something that he would get some gratification from. No. He's not doing this for that. He's doing it because there is a divine purpose in everything that God does. And an end will come to it. Though he cause grief, yet he will have compassion according to the multitude of his mercy. My friend, does that not give you wonderful encouragement? In the midst of the church being despised, the gospel despised, in the midst of a nation that is turning its back upon the gospel, or alternatively, in your own personal experience, you may have afflictions. You may have troubles. You today come to the beginning of a year and you have burdens that no one knows about. But my friend, the Lord knows about it. He knows. And he is able to do for you more than you can ever even ask or think. And even though he will give you these burdens, he invites you to come. Cast your cares upon the Lord. Because he careth for you. He will never cast you off. He will never toss you aside like an old rag and say, I'm finished with this. No, no. He will never cast you off forever. His mercy, his compassion, his love will intervene. And there will be an end to these trials. And then finally, the sixth thing he comes to see is God's justice. God's justice. Things appear in this life as though there is no justice, don't you? That things appear, and even the psalmist himself thought to himself, my feet almost slipped when I saw how the godless get on, how they prosper in this world, how they even approach death, and it doesn't seem to trouble them. Then he said, I saw after that heaven opened to me, then I saw their latter end. He said, what an end. What an end. I was speaking to someone just this week. I've told you this before. It was a young man, relatively young man anyway, very profitable job as a teacher. But he also played in a band that became very famous in Scotland and the West Coast. He played with that band when they were setting out. He took ill, however, and he had terminal cancer. And eventually, he died of that cancer. And I went to visit his mother. And his mother said to me, she said, it's a terrible thing, she says, to see my son suffering the way he suffered. He had cancer, and it was dreadful. But she says, I remember one night, about a fortnight before he died, I think it's 2 or 3 weeks, shortly before he died, he had terrible pain. And he was terribly disturbed. And I told him to go upstairs to bed. So he's to bed. And he said, no, I'll just stay here for a while. You go to bed. And he said, I'll go to bed for a wee while. She went to bed and she woke at 3 o'clock in the morning. And she realized the light was still on. And she came downstairs, and she realized he was still downstairs in the room. And she went into the room, and she says, as soon as I went into that room, I knew there was a complete difference in the room. She said to him, Robert, are you okay? Oh, he said, yes. He says, I'm okay. I have no fears now. That night he had come, just on his own, in the room, had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. No one converted before. He had been brought up in the church, knew the gospel, but that evening, she said, there was a complete change. Even in the room, she said, when I went in, she said, I could feel that there was a presence there. And from that day on until he died, she said, he had an absolute peace. It was wonderful to see. My friend, can you say that? If you end up in another year, can you say that you have peace with God? Let's look at how the next thing that, although things appear to Jeremiah to be one way, it all seemed to be affliction, didn't it? It all seemed to be, but then look what he says in verses 31 to 33. For the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he caused, from verse 34, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause. These are all the things that the wicked were doing. And you may think to yourself, well, God doesn't see. They do all these things and they say, well, God doesn't see. But Jeremiah says, the Lord approveth not. The Lord approveth not. My friend, what a terrible thing it is when there are those going in out of this world. And they might think that God is, they're right with God, they're subverting this, they do that, they trample underfoot, nobody will see them. But the Lord approveth not. And that gave Jeremiah absolute delight. Six things. His compassion and his mercy, that he was the Lord's portion, and the Lord was his portion. God is good. It is good to be patient, and it is good to bear the yoke, even in youth. To bear his affliction silently, in prayer, knowing that the end of all these things will come. Because the Lord is in control of it all. And ultimately, God is just. And he sees all things. He sees what Jeremiah is going through. And he knows it. And he doesn't approve. The Lord looks down from heaven today. And there is much that is going on in our nation. And we can say, the Lord does not approve. Men may think that God doesn't see them, but the Lord does not approve. Does the Lord approve of you? Well, of yourself? No. Does the Lord approve of me? No. But he does approve of his Son, Jesus Christ. And those who trust in him, who wait on him, who seek him, the Lord is good to them. Because he embraces that. Every sinner that comes to Jesus Christ, they are embraced. They are in the covenant of grace. My friend, no matter what affliction, no matter what the world may throw at you, to be in the covenant of grace, a child of the grace of God, that's everything. Supposing you lose everything in this world, as one day you will be, you still have the most glorious treasure of all, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray.